Let me read our scripture passages from Psalm 8. If you want to turn, it's in your bulletin or in your Bible, on your phone, wherever you can find it. If you can pull that up. I think, just in looking at the preaching schedule for the summer, I think, did you preach last week? Okay. I think Keith did David and Bathsheba last week. Pretty devastating passage. And I think it's, hopefully this is a helpful psalm to sort of build on that. It's not a psalm of repentance. I thought about maybe just picking up on the theme of repentance and doing something about how David repented and what that really looked like. And I think that's a really helpful topic. But I thought this idea of significance is helpful for us too, maybe even after a fall like David had. Where's your worth? When you get to that point where you think, gosh, how did I get here? How did I get to this moment? Or maybe life circumstances just, you've been pummeled lately, and you think, what is my value? What is my significance? I turned 40, back in November. It's been about 6 months now. I'm almost not 40 anymore. That's weird. But it's one of those times where, like, people start to think about you differently when you're 40, I think. At least I felt that. Like, you just start looking at life a little differently. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I've just been asking different questions about, okay, what's my life going to be? What's it going to be about? What's going to matter to me in this next 40 years, Lord willing? What's going to be important? How do things change? I start to think, we have a 10-year-old in our house. My oldest just turned 10. And I think that, so all of these things are sort of landing on me at once. Of like, I have a kid who's in double digits, and that's really frightening. And he's going to go into fifth grade, and it'll be a year until he's in middle school, and that's terrifying. And so as all of these things are sort of descending on me, I'm thinking a lot about significance. But I think it's not just me. I think it's obviously a universal question. It's an old question. We're going to go back to this psalm to kind of ask the question, where is our significance? And I think David gets at our significance in the right way, in a biblical way, and it's counterintuitive. It's paradoxical to what we normally do. And so I hope it's an encouragement to you. Let me read from this passage. This is Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. Let's pray. Lord God, you are kind to us in all that you do. Thank you for this church, for your word, for the opportunity to talk about it, to study it, to preach on it. Father, I pray that it would be an encouragement to us. Lord, would we find our worth and our significance in you? And would you get all the praise and all the glory? Would you now, by your Spirit, make Jesus more beautiful and believable to us, that our hope in him would grow? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, I've been thinking about significance, but it's not just me. My kids are thinking about this too. They would never say, well Dad, I'm struggling with my significance, right? But this is how it plays out in our house this week. My two of our kids are doing swim team for the first time. And the thing about swim team in Blacksburg, this may be true. I don't remember if it was true when I was on swim team, but my oldest, my 8-year-old, or second oldest, he's swimming, and he gets a ribbon, right? No matter what, you can get disqualified, and you get a ribbon for participating, right? It's sad, I know, sad. But he finished, like, eighth place, and even eighth place gets a ribbon. And so that was a week and a half ago. He swam, he got eighth place, and he got a ribbon. He got disqualified and got a participant ribbon as well. So he had two ribbons. And so my six-year-old, my daughter, Sadie Jane, she's on swim team, but it's basically like a glorified swim lesson, right? So she can participate if she wants. She can swim in the meet if she wants to, but it's mainly just come to practice and get a swim lesson. So she saw that Cooper got two ribbons, and she was ready to swim in the meet. Like she would not have it. It will not stand that Cooper got a ribbon and she didn't get a ribbon. So this past Thursday, she swam. And she got sixth place, and she got a ribbon. She also got disqualified and got a participant ribbon, right? So she had two ribbons as well. Now, that's all well and good, right? My two kids that are on swim team, that ribbon for them is like they matter. They're valuable. They even got points for their team, right? We tried to make it a team thing because Sadie Jane doesn't like to lose, and so we're trying to build it up, trying to get her to participate in all of this stuff. So they got two ribbons. So my four-year-old, Benji, he doesn't swim. He is learning to swim. He is not old enough to be on swim team, but he wants a blasted ribbon, and it will not stand that he does not have a ribbon. And it's value to him. He sees his brother and sister matter more because they got a ribbon, and he doesn't matter because he doesn't have a ribbon. We made him a ribbon. We just made him a ribbon, and he got a ribbon for just existing. And so we love him, and he matters to us, but to him, that without that ribbon, it didn't matter. Our students, I'll tell some stories on our students in a few minutes, but their life, their academic pursuit, their relationship status, their social media presence, you name it, whatever it is, you could boil it down into a conversation about significance. How many likes did I get? That's a significance issue, right? I was reading in a book recently, and there was a quote in the book. It's actually from an interview, an old interview, 20-some years ago, with Madonna, who is, I had to look this up, but she is like the, I think she, for women, she has sold the most records ever. Like Guinness World Record kind of holder. She is, by any standard of achievement, she has made it. Right? But I think this is fascinating. Listen to what she has to say in this interview. It's almost like she sort of pulls the curtain back a little bit on her heart as she talks here. Listen to this. She says this, "All of my will has always been to conquer some horrible feeling of inadequacy. I'm always struggling with that fear. I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human being. And then I get to another stage and think I'm mediocre and uninteresting. And I find a way to get myself out of that again and again. My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. And that's always pushing me, because even though I'm somebody, I still have to prove that I'm somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will." That's Madonna, right? Does that resonate? This fear of inadequacy. They're like, I know that I'm somebody, but I have to prove that I'm somebody. Like, do you feel that tension? And maybe you know, maybe you have walked with Jesus for a really long time. And so you know all of the right answers about your value and your worth and your dignity, and yet your heart betrays all that you know. And you feel that tension. Maybe it's just sort of keeping up with the Joneses, right? One of our neighbors just got a new car, and somebody else got a new car, and all of a sudden my 2004 Honda Pilot, which works very fine, seems old, right? Just because my neighbor got a new car, it feels older somehow. Do you feel that at work? Do you feel the pressure to make more of yourself, to make yourself significant in a way that maybe outshines your coworkers. Maybe it's the Amy and I were talking about this recently. The school mom kind of thing where you're sort of trying to keep the other moms, right? We live in Blacksburg, this tiny little town. We know lots of people, and so Amy will joke that like she can go in her workout clothes and drop off one of our kids at preschool, and she can be fine. We were in Richmond, where we both grew up, and we were at church and kind of connecting with some folks, and she said, I can't wear my workout clothes to drop any kids off here. I'm not sure we could live in Richmond because I might have to put on makeup to take the kid to preschool, right? One of those, right? And I don't know that. That's not my significance issue, but like, does that sound familiar? I don't know if Lynchburg is the kind of place you have to put on makeup to go to preschool, but there is that sense of like, where's my worth? Where's my value? Do I matter? David comes at this from a different angle. He starts this psalm not by looking inward, which is what we all do. How do I matter? What is my significance? David looks up in worship. He starts the psalm. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. This harkens back to Genesis 1 and God's creation of the world, that God has stamped everything with his image, with his stamp of approval. He has created it. He has embedded in all creation his glory. Romans 1 talks about seeing the world, seeing the beauty of the heavens, and all men being without excuse, being able to distinguish God's glory even in a beautiful sunset or in the mountains. How majestic is your name in all the earth. He says, out of the mouths of babies and infants, you've established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Whatever battle comes, God says, I got this. The strength of an infant, right? Whatever, we can confound our enemies because God is so great. And I think this is a unique starting point for us. It's actually in feeling so small where David begins to sense the value of who God is, his significance, and then his own worth. I have a friend who's he's an astrophysicist. And he works in some of these huge telescopes. Maybe you've been out west and you've seen some of those amazing telescopes, right? And I asked him about his work. It's pretty fascinating. He's doing research on comets and all sorts of stuff. And I said, what do you take away from that? Don't you feel small? And he says, yeah, every day. I feel so small. But I said, does it bother you? Like, Is that okay to feel small? And he's like, no, it's actually a good thing. I want to know that God is up there, that I'm down here, right? Verse 3 says this, you've made him a little lower, verse 3, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, the idea is this, that as God is dealing with the universe, he's doing it like this with his fingers. My 10-year-old Josiah has started a new hobby, model building, and if you're a dad, maybe you know the frustrating hobby of model building and trying to do the glue and the paint. There's actually a spot on our island in our kitchen where it's glue and paint, and we can't get it up. Right, it went through the newspaper. There's bits of newspaper stuck right from this lovely hobby that he has, and but it's that's the picture. That as Josiah is building this model, as he's putting on little bombs or little wheels onto the underside of a plane, that's what God is doing with the universe. How significant is the Lord? He puts universes together with his fingers. He has all significance. All weight and glory and honor is his, right? Great are you, Lord. You see, that's where David starts, and I think that's our mistake. So often when we think about our significance, we want to look into ourselves, not up in worship. Again, I mentioned our students. I think a lot of my conversations with them in one-on-ones is about value and worth. One of our students, he's graduated now, but we were catching up. We kind of catch up at the start of every Tour de France. Some of you may be cyclists. Maybe you're fans of the Tour de France. But it just started a couple days ago, maybe beginning of last week. And so it's an amazing sport. I mean, just to watch it, I'm fascinated by it. I love it. I'm always on vacation. Seems like 1 week of the Tour de France, and so I can catch it over breakfast, right, and get to watch some of the races. And it's a real joy to watch. And it's an individual sport, but it's not. It's a total team sport, right? There's one guy on every team who's the guy, and then there are seven or eight guys, and their only job is to protect and to go fast and to let the main guy draft, right? Their only job is in a support capacity, and yet their value and worth and significance is in that. And I was talking with a student about what it means to be a part of a team. What does it mean for us to find value, not in ourselves, in our isolated individual worth, but in being a part of something bigger than ourselves? Virginia Tech is a uniquely loyal place, right? If you're a Hokie, you know what I'm talking about. Or you know that guy who is a Hokie, right? More than likely. And they probably annoy you. They put their flags out in the yard and all of that stuff. And so, but it is a uniquely loyal place. And I have met, like, offensive linemen who played 40 years ago for our team who still come back for every game. And they identify, right, with the team. Now, they didn't score, right? Their stat line, they, right? One guy I'm thinking of didn't have a sack. He didn't have a fumble recovery. He didn't score. He had zeros on the stat line. But he played, and man, he was helpful to the team. And he found value and worth, not in his own accomplishments, but in being part of something bigger than himself. And I think that's what David is sort of getting at here, is that you are small, infinitesimally small when compared to the universe, compared to the glory of God. And yet, verse 4 says that God is mindful of you. What fills the mind of the Lord? It's you. You matter. You are made in God's image. He is mindful of you. His mind is full of you, and he cares for you. Your significance and value don't come from individual achievements. They come from being the recipient of God's thoughts and his cares. You are significant. Let me say that one more time. Because you are the recipient of God's kindness, of his thoughts, of his cares. He shares in his glory with mankind, who he made in his image. You have value and worth and dignity. First, because God is significant. Second, because you are made in his image. He is mindful of you and cares for you. And you have value and worth and dignity. Verse 5, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, right? Even the angels, these impressive characters all throughout the scriptures, aren't made in God's image, and yet we are made in God's image. We've been crowned with glory and honor. We have dominion. Again, Genesis 1 and 2. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. We have dominion. We are vice regents, rulers, sub-rulers of God's creation. God shares his glory. He crowns us, and we participate in ruling the world together with him. That's incredibly significant. Our students fight for 4.0 GPAs. They fight for extracurricular activities, for things to pad the resume, for all sorts of things to get academic success that they can get the job that they want. And that is all well and good. And God calls us to that. We'll talk about that in just a second. And yet, it's the holding of that so tightly. It's the finding the value and worth in that in itself that destroys it. Maybe you've heard this before. It's sort of like humility, right? As soon as you try really hard to be humble, you've disqualified yourself from it, right? We used to joke that, you know, you're really humble until you get the humble button and you wear it to show people how humble you are, and then you've lost it, right? No, humility, right? Maybe C.S. Lewis said this, right? Tim Keller quotes it, and if Tim Keller quotes it, it's probably C.S. Lewis. He says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. The attention is drawn away from yourself, right? Somebody who's genuinely humble, you're going to walk away thinking, man, they really cared about me. Like, they really listened to what I had to say. And they were genuinely interested and concerned about me. And the same thing is true with significance. If you try to latch on to be significant, this is the thing. My campus ministry is the thing that makes me significant. I'm going to smother my students. I'm going to kill the campus ministry. I'm going to destroy my family because I'm trying to wrench out significance from this ministry. It doesn't work. So if it's your job, if it's your relationship status, if it's your likes on social media, whatever it might be, if that's the thing you're going for, you're going to kill it. But God says, worship me. Look to me. I will share my significance with you. And together, right, we're going to exercise dominion over the world and see the kingdom come to bear. Verse 9, David comes back and says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Your calling, your significant calling in this world is to worship. David comes right back to praise at the end. And he moves in worship, and that worship propels him into the world to exercise dominion. Do you see the order? That's why we do worship together every week. Because you need to be reminded. You're not significant because of what you drove here in, or what neighborhood you came here from, or the job that you have, or the way that your kids have fulfilled every expectation you've put on them, right? Finding our significance in our kids. No, it's none of that. We come to set our focus and our sights, to set our hearts on God, who is ultimately worthy, who is significant, who is worthy of all praise and honor and majesty. And we see ourselves as really small. Who are we that God would be mindful of us? And yet that's exactly the point. God was not only mindful of you, he cares for you. He cares for you enough that he would send Jesus to live the life that you couldn't, to die in your place, to ascend to heaven where he sits as fully man and fully God, a human on the throne, crowned with glory and honor. And if you've put your faith in Christ as his brothers and sisters, you share in that glory. Hebrews 2 talks about this verse. It quotes Psalm 8 and talks about Jesus and exalts Jesus. It says this, what is man that you are mindful of him? It goes through all of this. And then it goes to say, now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. At present, we don't see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. See, it's Jesus, fully man and fully God, who has purchased through his death and resurrection our ultimate value and significance. You are precious to God. He is mindful of you. He cares for you, and he has given you a job, a calling, to go out into the world as a worshiper, not taking credit for yourself, not a glory stealer, but someone who puts glory back on God, who gives glory to Jesus for all that we are. And as you exercise dominion in whatever field you're in, right, whether you are students in engineering, bringing order and value and efficiency and all whatever they're doing in the world, whether you're an artist, right, creating beautiful art, music, whatever it might be, you do that to God's glory. And you return in worship to him, and you know you're valuable. You know your worth and your significance. And you have freedom to move, to worship, to glorify him in all that you do. So with that, let me pray for us that God would equip us, that we would know how small we are and how significant we are all at the same time. Let's pray. Lord God, you are worthy of all honor and praise and majesty. Father, even when we are feeling beat up by the world, even when we are feeling betrayed by our own decisions and choices, even when we are at our weakest, Father, we are in your image. Would you give us the strength to worship you as you ought to be worshiped? Would you give us eyes to see ourselves as you see us? Small but significant. Each with a valuable calling to play out in this world you've given us. Father, would you help us to turn our eyes away from ourselves and to you in worship? Would we glorify Jesus for his life and death and resurrection? Would we see our union with him as giving us true and ultimate significance? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.